The date today is the 9th of September, 2013, and I'm sitting in the home of Ray Gold, who lived on Brunswick. From 1932 to 1940, that means that you were the ages of 14 to 22. So the first thing I want to say to you is thank you for allowing me to come and listen to your stories. But I also want to say I'm sitting here with your daughter-in-law, Elaine Gold, and Elaine's known you for many years and has heard some of your stories, so I've invited Elaine to participate if she would like to. Okay?
Okay.
Would you just start by telling us your age?
I'm 95.
Yeah, yeah. You're a beautiful 95. You are a beautiful 95. Do you have any idea what prompted your parents to move to Brunswick? You were Brunswick near Harbert, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My aunt was married, my mother's sister, and her husband died and left her the house on Brunswick Avenue. My father's a working man. He couldn't afford a house. But anyhow, my parents, my aunt was not very efficient with English or anything, which my mother and father were, but that's why they bought the house, because she couldn't, my mother could see she couldn't manage it. Mm-hmm. So my parents bought her house, and that's how we got to Brunswick Avenue.
Now, did your aunt move away, or did she stay with
no,
you?
No, Mima Chava stayed forever.
Mima Chava, so Mima means aunt, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, Mima Chava.
Mima Chava stayed forever, with no children.
So she, your entire life, your aunt lived with you?
Oh, yeah, practically, since Brunswick Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, since we moved to Brunswick, she came with the house.
That's right, right. And you had some, it was you, and who else was, your parents and you, who else was in your family?
Lou Jacoby and my sister.
So Lou was your brother.
Isn't that awful? And my brother. There's four of us. There was five, but one died when she was 2 years old.
Well, certainly your brother was a well-known actor. I enjoyed his work enormously. Very, very much, yeah. So you were three children.
We were two girls and
four.
Two boys.
Four. Lou.
Okay. Five to start with, but one died.
Right.
She was about three.
Okay. And your aunt. Were there any other people ever living with you?
Was it? My brother, my mother sent for her brothers. Her brothers from Poland, they came. One brother was single when he came. The other one was married and had three children that he left in Europe. And then he was a young man who was having such a good time. So my mother, and he wasn't saving his money, he wasn't sending for his family. So my mother insisted that every week he's got to give her this money. And they had like a travel agent at that time. Everybody dealt with the travel agent. And my mother would go there every week and give the travel agent the money until he saved enough to send for his family.
And then the family came.
But it sounds
and
like
you know, whatever it is, they live in the house until they can afford to move out.
So
my mother was an exceptional, caring woman. And we had a lot of people. Whoever came, they're like Elaine and Peter.
They're
open house.
Very welcoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very welcoming. So that's the ones that came from Europe and stayed until they managed to move out.
So that was a family with children, and they all lived under your roof on Brunswick.
When they came, sure.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
How many bathrooms did you have?
One.
Okay. And how many kitchens?
There was a kitchen upstairs.
So they could have at least have their own kitchen. But there were like a dozen of you sharing a bathroom.
Yeah. My brother, I had an Orthodox brother.
Uh-huh.
He lived there. He lived with my parents. When he got married, he married a girl in New York. That's they used to arrange these marriages. So he had two children, and my mother went to visit. They went to visit him, and he was really very unhappy there. So she says, "I've got this flat. You'll come, you know. Mimachava has a room, but otherwise you'll come." And I came with two children and moved out with seven.
But he lived there all those years as the family got bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. He came from New York with two children, his wife and two children, and moved out with seven. Yeah.
So that was seven of them.
And they managed very well because we had an attic. There was an attic.
There was a third floor.
And very big rooms.
Uh-huh.
And even their master bedroom was a big room. They could always put a crib in it or whatever.
And they did that
quite
often.
And they had this kitchen. So they had, you know, the second floor.
So that was in the 50s. Now we're talking about the 50s when her younger brother got married and brought the family. So Ray wasn't living at home anymore then. Gosh. She had already moved out and was married.
Yeah.
And
the others were already out.
Yeah. And
except Mimachava. Mimachava stayed forever.
And she was there. And this is Mom's younger brother who became very Orthodox, and he moved in with his family in the 50s. And they didn't move out until we had seven kids when he moved out. So it must have been the 60s by the time he moved out. I'm trying to think when that would have been. But I think it would have been maybe the early 60s when he would have moved out.
So that home stayed in the family for a long time.
Stayed in the family until Bubby died. The house was in the family until Bubby died, and Bubby died. What year did Bubby die?
And there were four of us left with the house.
Do you remember what year Bubby died? 78?
No, dates I just absolutely don't remember.
Yeah, it was around 78.
Uh-huh. So that's when they sold the house.
And that's when they sold it. And you sold the house soon after that.
Yeah.
So it was in the family from
1932
until 78. Yeah, so 46 years.
They probably bought it for something that sounds like nothing now.
Yeah,
but it was nothing. But at that time, it was a lot of money.
You know what? That's just what I was going to say. Because people like say, "Oh, we bought it for $15,000 or something." But at that time, whatever it was, people worked hard to save up that much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the prices went up and up and up and up.
Well, the prices went up and inflation just keeps moving.
There was always inflation, and then it went down a bit, and you couldn't sell your house, and then, you know, it came up, and anyhow. That was how it worked, wasn't it? I think it still works that way.
Who made up the neighborhood? What ethnic groups made up the neighborhood? What religions?
Well, the area,
we
lived in just a block from Ulster to Harvard. So that was our area.
And you know, you put
we
it so
went
clearly.
To Brunswick. We went to the Brunswick Jewish...
The Talmud Torah?
Talmud Torah, yeah. And, you know, that was all right up to a point, but we still study Hebrew and whatever. But that was where we went.
So all the children...
I think
in
We went to also the Zionists. What were they called at that time? Went to their religious school to study Jewish.
Where were they? Were they on Baldwin?
They were on Cecil Street.
On Cecil, that's what I meant. Yeah, Cecil Street. Yeah.
So they had a kind of cheder there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had, Well, they were, you know, like... Not that religious.
They're more left wing.
Right. So that's where we went for Jewish, but the Brunswick Talmud Torah.
So Brunswick Talmud Torah, you learned Hebrew, and when you went to this whatever cheder was called, you learned Yiddish there.
Yeah,
was
it's
there
like
any,
across the street from the old folks' home?
Was there any Yiddish spoken in your home?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Her parents.
We spoke Yiddish all the time in the house.
Yeah. Her so parents just wrote in Yiddish.
Yeah, my parents, my mother and father could speak English, not bad, but my aunt, not that good. We spoke Yiddish while I was living there. All the time.
That was your first language then?
In the house, yeah.
Uh-huh. You learned English then, what, at about 3 or 4 or 5 years old? When you played outside or when you went to school?
You know, I never really... Well, we went to school, we spoke English, but I remember my mother talking about my brother, the oldest one. And she says that she sent him to school and he couldn't talk a word of English.
Yeah.
Oh, well. When we were living on university.
Yeah. I guess he learned it pretty quickly.
She couldn't speak.
About
he was born here and brought up here. Couldn't speak a word of English.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
There's certain things I remember. I remember when we lived on university, I don't remember this at all, but I remember my mother saying, my oldest brother went to school. Everybody walked to school.
Uh-huh.
So he'd stop at university, he'd go across to the, you know, to the island of university, and she says he ran back and forth. He didn't know how to cross the street. She says, running back and forth, and I'm sure nobody helped him. He worked it up for himself. Yeah, but I remember using certain things, you know, you talk about, because my mother thought that was very unusual.
So that was a favorite story of your mother's, of your brother trying to get across the street.
Yeah. trying to get across the street. Yeah. And he probably was, I don't know, he probably was 5 years older. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I was born on university.
On Brunswick, where you lived, was everyone on the block Jewish?
Well, the next door neighbors were not.
Oh, okay.
We lived in a duplex, and our next door neighbors were Anglo-Saxon.
No, on Brunswick. I'm talking about Brunswick Street.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, what are you asking me again?
I'm going to ask you again. On Brunswick Street, was everyone Jewish?
The neighbors, yeah. One of them was Chinese. As eventually, you know, all as far as I know, all of them were pretty well Jewish.
Yeah.
But then some of them started moving out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's next door neighbor were Chinese for quite a few years.
Yeah, well, you know, that's typical of any neighborhood where immigrants live, that they go where there
are others.
You see the pattern. Yeah, you do see the pattern, sure. But the years that you were there was a very strongly
Jewish
neighborhood.
Yeah. I think that all of them. And there was the grocery store, there was a butcher shop, and there was a fish place at the corner.
Right.
So these were Harvard. Okay. So talk to me more, please, about what you remember about those stores.
Well, that's what I remember. We'd shop at a grocery store at McCall and Elm Street. There was a grocery store there.
Wait. When you were on Brunswick?
I'm on Brunswick. I'm thinking university. On Brunswick?
There was a fish store.
There was a store at Elser. There was a store, and there was also a butcher shop and a bake shop and a fish store there.
Yeah. The fish store
I'm
was
getting confused with.
On
Brunswick.
On Harvard Street?
Yeah.
There was...
On one corner was a grocery store, and across the street was the butcher, and there was the fish store, and on the other side was a bake shop.
Mm-hmm.
And further in, they're still there on Harvard Street, was it the bake shop?
Harvard Bakery.
Well, Harvard Bakery is still there.
Other one.
But the butcher's gone. The butcher was there in the 70s.
I'm in the midst of organizing an interview with that butcher.
Oh, the butcher was there in the 70s, I remember.
Yeah.
And the fish store was there
into
the 80s, maybe. The fish store was there a long time.
And so was the bake shop there for quite... Yeah.
So that's a different bake shop, not Harvard Bakery, a different bake shop.
Yeah, different one.
A different one.
And they were very popular, but I can't think of the name.
Did your family shop in the market?
Kensington My mother market? Was not a, she was not a, what do they call the market? Kensington Market.
Yeah.
My mother was not that type of woman. She didn't go out to the markets looking for bargains. She bought in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And you know how you bought, because my father was a tailor at that time. You bought, and at the end of the week you paid.
Oh, lovely. I remember that. I grew up in Montreal. We did that quite up. So she would. They would keep an accounting on a piece of paper.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I remember on that street there was a family, very Orthodox, and one of their daughters married somebody, an Italian fella or something.
Really?
In the States. Yeah. And she was dead as far as they can see. They never talked about them, but she had an older sister, so, because I didn't know this, but the older sister... You know, I knew the older sister, and the odd time she'd say, my sister, and I said, what sister?
So you never met that sister?
No, I never met her. Hmm. And, you know, she probably was about 18, who knows. Hmm. Or maybe they were an older family than we were.
But that's a clear memory, so you had some emotional response to it.
Some things you kind of remember,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I also remember the grocery store eventually moved.
But your mother wasn't a market person. She liked to go into a cleaner store and get something from the corner shelf.
We used to buy in the corner store. Uh-huh. Even at Alstrom, there's always a store down there too, Alstrom Brunswick.
Do you have any particular memories about the fish store or the... Or the butcher. Any specific memories about those? You do, Elaine.
Well, Peter talks about, because Booby would buy the live fish. She'd bring home the live fish, right?
Yeah.
She'd put them in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So the one bathroom. And the fish is swimming in the bathtub, right?
Yeah, well, that's how you bought live fish.
Oh, my God.
That's how you make the filter fish. You buy the live fish.
You buy the carp, especially carp. The others weren't live fish, but I think the carp was always a live fish.
So when the fish was swimming,
all those
10 people couldn't take a bath.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
The fish was in the bathtub. That's what Peter remembers that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Booby would make a filter of fish from the fish, yeah.
Yeah, always from fresh fish.
Yeah,
So in that, in one respect, she was more of a lady. She didn't want to go to the market. But she rolled up her sleeves and she made gefilte fish.
She was a good cook and a good homemaker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She was a good cook.
Another thing I remember is the grocery store finally moved away. And my mother went looking for them because she owed them some money. Uh-huh. And she found the address where they were. And she went and people said that she was about the only one that came and paid off her debt. So I say my mother was a very exceptional woman.
She was an exceptional woman.
Yeah.
Did you know her?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. Yeah. No, she lived until about 78. So, no, I knew her.
Yeah.
And there are at least 11 girls named after her.
Oh, yeah.
At least 11.
Yeah. Bumi's, yeah. Yeah. Bumi's children, her grandchildren.
Yeah.
Whenever the first girl was named after their Bubby.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Faggy.
Faggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're Faggies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter's middle name is Faggy.
Oh.
And yeah, at these family events, all the Faggies can gather together. Yeah.
Because she was a way to honor somebody. Well, in the first place, seven of them lived in the house. Yeah. Eventually had 10.
That's right.
But until they were 7, they lived in the house.
So they were very close to their puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ran up and down the stairs. They broke the stairs. They broke the piano. But in my sister-in-law's house, my mother went one weekend. She says, Bubby, you hold on to the banister. You don't hold on to the wall. when you climb up the stairs, that was Hilda.
Oh, well.
Hilda kept the a meticulous
clean,
household.
Very clean.
Oh,
but
so
in
she
their,
didn't want the wall to get prints.
Yeah,
the wall.
But in their boobies house,
the kids ran rampant.
Yeah.
When your Mumi Chava lived with you, was she like a second mother? Or was
no,
she,
no.
What, was
I
she
mean,
like,
Chava.
Yeah.
I don't think she ever washed a dish. She'd sat there and she'd watch my mother wash a floor. And she never brought anything into the house. But look, that's the way it was. It was me, Mechava, who thought about it. Only when I got older did I think, you know, that here's a woman who lived in the house.
And did nothing.
Did not do anything. Didn't really do anything. She had a bed. Well, like I said, she came with the house. So.
Yeah.
But she was that kind of person.
Very, very different from your mother.
Yeah, different.
Yeah.
But very nice that everybody was her friend.
But she lived off your family.
Yeah, she used to go to Lewis Bakery and sit for his children. So, you know.
Oh, you mean your cousin? Your cousin who had the bakery?
Yeah, well, they're not. They're related to us. They're related to my mother, yeah. Lewis Bakery.
Yeah, Lewis Bakery.
Mishbucha.
Yeah. They're Mishbucha.
Yeah.
So where was their bakery?
There was on Bloor Street.
Oh, they were on Bloor.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Bloor near where?
Was it near Spadina? Where was it on Bloor? Do you remember?
Lewis Let bakery. Me see. Between I think it was north of Bathurst. I think it was north of Bathurst.
Wait. Can't be north of Bathurst if it's on Bloor Street. That doesn't make sense. You mean it was on Bathurst?
Oh, I mean west of Bathurst.
West of Bathurst, okay.
Okay. So for my...
It was on the north side. It was on the north side, but west of
Bathurst. On the north side, but west of Bathurst.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. Out of the area.
Yeah. How would you describe the financial situation of the families who were living there?
Oh, they were all working people. I don't know anybody on the street that had a business.
Uh-huh. So they worked for other people.
You know,
people,
we moved there when we were later. We were 17. I was 17, so you didn't get to know the neighbors that, you know, when you go to school with the kids, it's when you get to know the neighbors really well. We knew the Teppermans on this side and the Neymans. Yeah. Anyhow, we just knew a few.
You knew the Magers.
Because with the Magers. We lived across the street from the Magers. But then, like I said, I moved in when I was
14.
Going to high school.
Right. Do you remember whether any of the mothers were working? Were the mothers stay-at-home moms, or
nobody,
did some of them work?
Nobody worked.
The mothers were not working.
The mothers did not work.
Uh-huh. And your father worked as a tailor.
My father was a tailor.
Did he go out to work, or did he have something in your home?
Oh, he went to Eaton's.
Oh, he worked for Eaton's.
Every Jewish tailor worked for Eaton's, but not in their store. They had a factory. And all the people that came, all the people working in their factory were Jewish, because, you know, one recommended the other,
of course,
probably.
Yeah. Where
but
was
none
the,
in the store.
And where was the factory?
Where was the factory? Oh, one of the downtowns.
So it was downtown. So
yeah.
On Spadina?
Yeah.
Was it on Spadina?
No, the factory was not. It was closer to their store.
No.
Was
college,
yeah.
That a little,
yeah,
east, maybe.
Back in there, closer to where their store was. But it was not a Spadina.
Queen Street store.
Spadina had the other Jewish bosses.
Where did Zeta Gold work? He was a tailor, too.
I don't remember the name.
You don't know if he worked for Eames?
No. But he became a cousin later on.
Who became a cousin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Her father.
My father.
Your father.
Had a lovely voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely. Yeah. So did he continue to work as a tailor?
Yeah, worked as a tailor, and he'd sing in the choir, and he'd sing, you know.
Where did he sing in the choir?
In the theater. You know where the theater was? Spadina Theater. And they put on these shows.
So that was,
yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not from Toronto.
Oh, you're doing this research.
Yeah. So there
was so many years ago. And he's sitting there in the synagogues. He's singing in their choirs. But
so he sang in the Jewish theater and in synagogue.
Yeah.
And he sang at Shomer Shabbos, right?
At
Shomer
Shabbos. No, not at Shabbos. No.
But he sang at Shomer Shabbos, didn't he? At the shul. On the shul on Brunswick.
Yeah.
That shul on Brunswick.
Yeah, that's where he went the holidays, and that's in one of the shuls. He died blowing the shofar.
Yeah. Whoa. Do you know where Environment Probe is right now?
Yes.
That's an old shul.
Uh-huh.
That shul was called Shomer Shabbos. They're now up on Glen Grove, but they used to be on Brunswick. So they're the Nariver. Both shuls were functioning, the Nariver and the Shomer Shabbos on the corner.
Well, you know, they came from Europe, from their shtetl. Everybody came to Toronto and opened their own synagogue.
Yeah, I know there were a lot of shtetls around.
Yes.
But he sang at Shomer Shabbos, and he died on Rosh Hashanah, blowing the Rosh Shofar. Yeah.
It's quite a lovely way to die.
Look at the Jewish religion. Probably it's a mitzvah. Really, something. Wow. You die blowing the shofar.
It's been so traumatic for everybody in shul.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And they call the ambulance, and they drive him to the hospital. You know, when it comes to health, that comes above everything.
Of course. Even though it was Rosh Hashanah, they called the ambulance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, as he get older, he was blowing the shofar, and he'd go out of town during the holidays and be a substitute chazan, you know, in their synagogues.
He really became a chazan because he could sing all the songs.
Because he really liked it.
Where did he go? He went
up north,
like to little towns.
No, not to big town.
Like to Barrie. You mean like to Barrie?
Further north.
North of Barrie?
North of Barrie. North
like
of
Sudbury? North Bay? Timmins? Where did it go? North Bay? I wonder who would know.
Place with two names.
North Bay. Susie Marie.
North Bay.
Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay. Sudbury?
Two names.
It was quite a bit up north.
Oh, it has two names.
It was a trip, I can't remember.
But he could really do the service. He was well educated.
Yes.
I mean, he had a beautiful voice, but he also knew how to do the service.
Well, listen, what's a rabbi? A teacher.
Yeah.
And he came from Europe full grown, and he came from an Orthodox family. He was well educated, but he was not...
He was not a great tailor.
He was a sharp guy.
He was a much better cousin than he was a tailor.
Yeah, he's the kind that went to New York, you know, my brother would invite him to New York, and he'd take him to the theaters and take him to the nightclubs, and my father would enjoy that.
Because when Uncle Lou was on Broadway, he would bring his parents to see him in the show. So he'd come to New York, her parents would go to New York and go to the shows.
Yeah, he was a very good son.
Yeah.
Considering that he was
a big star.
An actor and pretty famous.
Yeah, you know, they'd go.
Bring them out to Hollywood. Oh. Bring them to New York.
They must have shepped off us galore.
Yeah, they did. Even though they wanted him to be a violinist.
Did he play the violin?
What's that?
Did Lou play the violin?
Yeah, played the violin. He won medals playing when he was a young boy.
Oh, so he was a talented violinist.
And he was invited in a theater on King Street. They used to have an old theater there, and they had a Jewish company playing, and they needed a boy playing the violin, so that's where he started, the violin and act. Well, listen, my father used to put him on the chairs and tables and get him to sing.
Oh, really?
When he was little. That's
so
a story I heard.
Yeah.
I'd hear that often. He'd go by a house, and he'd hear the gramophone, whatever it was, and he'd stop and listen.
Your father or your brother?
My
now?
Brother. My
so
brother.
He loved
even
music.
As a child. Listen, he got this from my father,
because
I think my father was a frustrated actor or something.
So he must have been proud that his son could at least do it.
You know how it is. You get married when you're very young. When you're young, you have a family. You can't become a chazan. because I don't think they paid them very much either.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he was a whatever my brother has, he got from my father. So you know how the genes work.
Oh, the genes are
that
powerful.
But you know, if you put a kid on the table to sing for everybody.
I think there was more of that then than
of
now.
Of course, you had,
I
mean, you'd meet people, you'd sit down, you'd talk, and you'd sing, and, you know, I don't think he even played the record player. Mm-hmm. They'd have a bottle of, a thing of beer, a barrel of beer, and you went and spent evenings at the Mishpucha. Mm-hmm. Most Mishpucha.
Was there quite a lot? Was there other family? Were there? Did you have lots of cousins?
We had. We're related to the Fruitmans, and related to the Solishes.
They have a big cousins.
Yeah, it's a big family, an extended family, and that was your people.
Yeah.
But they also had that. What did they call it? The Nishkadangan.
Oh, yeah. club.
Club.
It was a club. A Nishkadagat club.
Yeah, Nishkadagat. And who was in that club?
He was one of the original members there, whatever it was, and they had a place out in the country.
Really?
Yeah, and we used to take the kids out. Yeah. I think he might.
So this was your extended family getting together?
Oh, well, the soldiers, that's where we went. We went to extended family that lived in the area within walking distance, because everybody lived without walking distance.
Uh-huh. So you're
like everybody did.
So that neighborhood was a real community of your family, too.
Yeah, listen, how far did they go? I had the Frutens living up at, oh God.
But you're saying in that neighborhood.
But mostly they're, when they were younger, maybe when they were older, they moved to my aunt and uncle bought this nice place. So that's what they did.
Did you go to the YMHA, YWHA, did you go there at
that
all?
That was my home.
Oh. Now, was it on Brunswick or was it at Lawrence Spadina?
At St. George. Community Center, they called it.
On St. George.
Was that the YMCA?
YMCA, no.
The YMHA?
Because I know that there was one at Brunswick at College, and 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, it moved to Bloor and Spadina, 60 years ago.
Yeah, not till 1950.
Okay, so what did you do there when you said it was like a second home? What were the...
You mean a community center?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd go there for mostly for sports. I went.
Were you athletic?
Played that. Yeah, I was athletic.
What did you?
Actually, we had we won Canadian championship.
Whoa! Good for you.
Volleyball or basketball?
Basketball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I have one picture.
You have one picture of your team, don't you? Do you know where it is?
It's there near the. Near the,
let's look at it later.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was the tallest. 5'6" and a half.
Oh, you were tall, especially for your generation.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. You must have been quite a few inches taller than most of the other women.
Well, you'll see in the picture, everybody's this big.
Yeah.
And I'm the tallest.
Yeah.
But they were good players. They were fighters. That's me, and that's what do you call?
Principal, coach.
Yeah, the coach, and that's his wife. But that's me there.
So you are the very last one because you're the tallest.
I was the one, you know, that jumped for the ball.
And you won the city championships.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The championship.
How old would you have been there? About 15?
Probably.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So you played basketball.
Yeah, because I even, even when I was older,
So was this at school or this was at the Y? At the community center.
That was at the community center.
Junior championship. Ontario championship.
Oh, my God.
35-36.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, so was everyone here Jewish?
They were all Jewish.
Yeah, this whole team was Jewish. There you go.
Oh, Jewish girls. I should know their name. You probably would know their families.
Yeah, but I don't need their names right now.
You can see this. She was a little one. They were such fighters.
Those tough girls.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd look into a different kind of basketball now than it was then.
So did you meet Dad there? Where did you meet? Where'd you meet Ben?
Oh, Ben. People used to have parties. Girls would have parties. And my sister was very outgoing and talkative and friendly. And she had a party at her house. And I happened to be out with somebody else. And I said goodnight to him outside. And I came in and joined her party.
On Brunswick, in your
house? Yeah, on Brunswick. Yeah. Because we had a piano in the living room. And then Ben said, we all went home, we were talking about you, but nobody invited me out. And then I met him somewhere else at another friend's house, and we went out for 4 years.
How old were you when you met him and started to go out with him for that 4 years?
I think when I first met him, 17. I went out with him until I was 22. We got married. Yeah.
Because he was athletic, too. That's why I asked about.
Oh, that's what they had in common. Yeah. Two jocks.
Yeah.
Did you play other sports, too?
What else did I play? No, I just swam. Yeah. No, I didn't play tennis.
But you swam.
Whatever it was. But I play baseball.
Baseball, swimming, basketball. I'm guessing that for your generation, not a lot of the girls were doing that.
No, but you know, this community center was a pretty busy place.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's like everything else.
Why don't you play baseball anymore?
Listen, I talked to my friends. Listen, remember I used to do that.
The other thing I like to hear is for your age.
For your age.
Eusta goes with for your age. When you went to this community center, were there dances or parties there?
Yes. They had parties. And they had dances, which I didn't go to. I can't remember going there. But I know I was talked into this basketball because I was tall. Yeah, because I was, listen, I was a pretty shy girl.
Yeah.
Not very talked.
So, can we talk about Central Tech?
Please, yes, yes.
So, was it unusual to go to Central Tech? Like these days, Central
Yes,
Tech,
it was.
It was. So how did you...
They went to commerce.
Yeah, that's what
I didn't want to be a secretary. Okay. What did you learn in commerce?
Yeah.
So I thought I'd go to Central Tech instead because nobody went to university.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to be able to afford it.
Right.
Because the people that went to university had to work for a couple of years or whatever it is before they could go back to school.
Yeah.
But usually the people that could afford it sent their kids. Otherwise, you went to learn a trade.
Yeah.
You learned something so you could work.
So what did you study at Central Tech?
Dress designing. I took dress designing.
The tailor's daughter took dress designing. And what did you...
I couldn't get a job. On Bloor Street, you know, they have these fancy dress shops. You could get a job as matching threads.
It's because...
$2 or $4 a week, I can't remember.
So, because they wanted thread to match the fabric.
Yeah, whatever, that's what
dress,
I mean.
You need thread to match the fabric.
Could anything be less than that?
Yeah. Is that what you did all day?
Yeah, but I went to work for an interior decorator.
So
I'm Bloor, you know where Onsteads is?
Mm-hmm.
Right next door to Onsteads. There was a decoration. Oh, I can't remember. Like, I think of it later. And I worked for him for many years. I worked for an English lady from England. And she worked for the, you know, she had made beautiful stuff and came into the lovely homes. She was that kind of a decorator. And then that's what I made.
So, but you decorated were
curtains.
Yeah, curtains. I made curtains.
Oh, so you
slip covers, and I'd go out with her and do the measuring. You know, I'd go with her and do what had to be done. Had to get a job.
Yeah. Did you work after you were married?
Yes, I worked. I worked until I had the children.
Mm-hmm. So
a couple of years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, you married somebody, you couldn't make enough for two people.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, look, that's what you used to do. You get married. I remember my sister saying she wouldn't marry her husband until he was making $10 a week. Does that tell you something?
And was he making $10 a week?
Yeah,
when she married him?
By the time he... By the time she married him, he was making $10 a week.
Were there other Jewish girls at Central Tech?
Well, there were just a few, but not many.
Yeah.
Not many. There was one black girl. Mm-hmm. That's how the blacks were not. You never saw any black people. Yeah. There was one girl in Central Tech that was black, mm-hmm. like in my class, but I didn't see any black people there mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm. Were there Italian people there? Who was there?
No. Mostly Anglo-Saxon. Yeah, really.
Was it mostly boys?
No.
Oh, there were lots of girls?
Oh,
lots
yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of girls. Mm-hmm. A lot of girls and a lot of boys. Listen, that's where they learned how to be. You know, if you were Jewish, you went to Central Tech, and they studied to be an electrician or whatever, plumber or whatever it was there, you'd go out and you'd become a salesman. You wouldn't work. You had to go to school and learn something.
Uh-huh.
Because I know a couple of Jewish fellows, you know, that went to Central Tech, but they weren't workers. They were salesmen, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. So despite their studying and learning a trade there, that's not what they practiced when they left Central Tech.
Well, isn't that what you go to university is studying, you learn, and then you have to go further, specialize in something before you can get a job. Well, it wasn't that way at that time. But I know a couple of fellas. There weren't very many Jewish people.
And,
but in my class, there happened to be a few girls.
Yeah.
And I know that he became a salesman. He traveled all over and made a very good living.
What were some of the strongest memories you have of that neighborhood during those years?
Well, like I say, I moved. I was 17 years old. I didn't grow up on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know any of the neighbors.
It is different time when you're not playing on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Yeah. If you buy a house where there's children, it's great. Because we lived on Corwin. There was an English family living across, and he was a banker, and he had one child. And, you know, in conversation, how did they manage to move there? She was in a neighborhood where there are no children. So she bought on this street because she saw children were playing.
But
so that's the one that Peter was good friends with.
Yeah. But the teenagers hung out with it mostly at the JCC. I mean, you still met.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, of course, if you had to go for practice or whatever it was there. But mostly I didn't. But I know they had everything there. a community center.
The Jewish?
They didn't have a swimming pool. They had, you know, like a basketball court. And they had, you could go get all kinds of books there. It was a place to go to. For young people.
I want to talk about the streets a little bit. And the homes. The front porches, the back lawns. Did your family have a front porch? Did you have a back garden?
We had a front porch, which my mother utilized all the time. Uh-huh. Especially as she got older. She'd sit in the front porch. And she'd watch the kids, the young people go by. She says, they're just like animals. They stop on the street and they're kissing, and she's just like...
She disapproved of that behavior.
At that time, yeah. Approve anybody kissing. Nobody kissed at that time. You had practically been married to kiss. So anyhow, but I remember her saying that. But we weren't very good neighbors. We didn't have friendly neighbors. Like I say, we moved there later in years on Brunswick Avenue, and they were all Jewish, and some were well-to-do, which I can't remember his name. They're well-to-do family. But the odd one was well-to-do. Other than that. And I know the Majors lived across the street,
yeah,
and
yeah.
They had one of the sons who was like my age, so that's how I happened to know them. And the other side...
Did you have a back garden or a garage? Or
oh,
a car?
No, we had a big garden with a sukkah.
Oh, this time of year,
like,
that's nice.
Sukkah forever. It's
oh, you didn't take it down? It was always up?
It was always up.
Oh.
We didn't take it down.
Oh,
no.
You didn't take it down.
Well, look, everything's a job. At
yeah,
that time,
yeah.
They didn't have fold up.
That's right. Yeah.
Was your sukkah made out of doors?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
I don't think so.
Did your family grow anything or use it other than...
Oh, my mother had a garden, always.
A victory garden?
Lettuce and tomatoes and radishes, mostly.
So you ate from your garden? You ate from your garden?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We always ate from the garden. As soon as the lettuce came out and the tomatoes and...
Really fresh.
Oh, yeah, my mother had a garden.
What about a back lane? Did you have a back lane?
Yeah, that everybody had a back lane, and no garages. Nobody had a garage. It was just a great big yard.
Did anybody use the back lane in any way that you remember?
Oh, what do I have to do with the back lane? My father never had a car.
Mm-hmm. So that wasn't used
but,
by
you. But, you know, if that's what they did with the back lanes. The garages were in the backyard.
Did you put your garbage out in the back lane? Did the garbage trucks come?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember. I never looked after the garbage.
No, was it garbage pickup?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Or did you burn it? What did people maybe, do with their garbage?
Maybe it was in the backyard. I don't remember that at all. So obviously, I was not the garbage lady.
What was the transportation like at that time? What buses or streetcars existed?
Everybody walked to school. They'd walk up to Commerce. You wouldn't think about it. It was 3 cents on the car fare at that time. Everybody walked. I'd go to school, I'd walk back up to Commerce. That's a big walk.
That's a big hike to Commerce.
Yeah.
Was there a streetcar on Harvard?
Oh, yes, of course. A streetcar.
Yes, or was it a trolley? Oh,
yeah.
It was a streetcar. There were streetcar tracks.
There's a streetcar.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
There was a streetcar. 3 cents.
Yeah. I remember Ida Feinberg lived on McCall Street. My sister from Murray Street, she'd walk up. They'd walk to Commerce.
Do you have any recollection of how your house was heated? How the house was heated at the time?
Coal furnace.
What was coal?
Coal.
It wasn't oil, it was coal.
Coal. Everybody had coal.
So did trucks come with the coal? Horses?
Of course.
Horses?
Maybe the horses came. I think it's quite possible. because they had a drinking fountain wherever you went at college in Spadina for the horses.
Right.
Yeah, and they did deliver milk.
With horses.
Horse and wagon.
Yeah.
Did you have a refrigerator, an ice box? What did you have?
Ice box in the summer kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Not in the kitchen. We had a summer kitchen. Yeah. An ice box. Man, that was pretty good. No air conditioning.
So what did your family do in the hot days when the nights were hot too?
Well, you know, the children went out and did their thing. They went to the music list. They went different things. Like I say, I went to play basketball. You go after school. But
the house is...
And then you have friends, you know. My sister played tennis. She'd go and play tennis. You know, the kids never stayed home.
So life went on.
But yeah, outdoors, away from home. You didn't sit in the house. And
but if it was a very hot night,
we'd go down to the island.
We'd go to the island?
We'd go to the island, yeah.
If it was hot, yeah.
And sit out there. Where'd we go? In one place, I stayed out on the back veranda. I can't remember where. When it was hot, that's what you did.
You'd go to the island.
Would you sleep on the back veranda?
Yeah.
You would sleep out there?
I can't remember on Jersey Avenue where we slept. I can't remember about hot weather on Brunswick Avenue. But I know there was one day, I can't remember where I was, and we slept outdoors on a porch or something. But, yeah. Listen, what could you do?
Yeah, it would get horrible.
Yeah.
Did any of your neighbors have cars?
Not on Brunswick Avenue.
Yeah.
No.
So everybody used their legs, or public transportation, or bikes. Bikes.
Well, we couldn't afford a bike. Nobody. But if you got skates and things like that, you pass it down from one to the other. But we never had a bike. We had music lessons. We had, you know, I took the piano. You'd say, go to Hebrew school. No bike. But other than that, like I say, we'd get the skates and pass them down, the ice skates, from one child to the next. And that's how we got...
Skates.
Yeah, skates.
You took piano lessons?
Did I what?
You took piano lessons?
Yeah.
Oh, how long did you take piano lessons?
Oh, for a few years. Yeah. I didn't like the piano. I took it for a few years, but then, you know, like the kids now. Mm-hmm. You take them up to a point. But I did. We all took some music. Yeah.
But you're talking about the importance of education. If your family had to choose between education and a bicycle, it was very clear what they were choosing.
Well, I know my sister was at an age where she dated. She liked to go up. She said, everybody's got a phone. We don't have a phone, she says. So my mother says, somebody wants to take you out, they'll come and knock at the door.
Oh, interesting.
But I do remember that, you know.
Right, right. So you didn't have a telephone.
Because my sister was a very sociable person.
Right.
She had lots of friends, so the boy, that's what she complained about.
Do you remember the year that your family finally got a phone? Any idea?
It was not that important, somehow. I can't remember. I have no idea.
But you survived without a phone.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. 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 We lived on Brunswick. We didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
Like I say, my sister had to be old enough to date.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't have a phone
at
that time. It's like, look, like anything else. You don't have it, you don't miss it.
Exactly.
Once you have, look what they have now with the computers, my God.
And with the phones.
And the phones.
Yeah.
I tell you. And they sit there.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, your sister was social. Your mother said they can come knock on the door. I wonder if you would talk just for a little bit about what dating was like at that time. You met your husband, you were 17, you were with him for 4 years. But you had come back. Somebody else had just dropped you off at your door.
Yeah.
So
that's what you did.
What?
Well, my sister and I kept company. She went with a fellow. We both went with steady help. And we'd sit in the living room, two couples. So what could go on?
Lots could go on.
Two couples. And the boys left, and the boys left. And what did my mother say? She used to have a famous Jewish thing. She said, like, it's enough already. Go to bed.
Did you play games? Or did you... Did you just talk? Or were you playing...
We played games. We just talked.
Oh, you just talked.
As much as you can talk.
You moved too quickly for me. Your mother said the equivalent of, it's enough already.
Go home.
She'll say to the boys.
She says, go home, Tanya Dutton. She's, you know that?
No.
What is it?
Tanya Dutton, you haven't heard that? That's a Jewish word. Like gentlemen. Oh. Except... younger gentleman.
Say the word again.
Kanye Dutton.
Kanye Dutton.
Had to be Polish from Poland.
Yeah.
Oh, so she would just gently invite them to leave.
Yes.
So now I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, but the night that you met your husband, Ben, somebody had just brought you home.
Yeah.
So where had you been?
I left at the door.
No, but had you gone for a walk? Had you gone to a movie? Had you gone to a party?
I think I remember.
What?
I don't remember, except I didn't date very much.
Uh-huh.
I didn't date
very much. But typically, did people go to movies?
But I happened to be out that day.
And you came home to
meet
your
husband? Yeah, we'd go for a walk.
You'd go for a walk?
Yeah, in the odd time, maybe you'd go to a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might go to a movie.
Yeah.
Would you go out for a coffee, the way people do today?
No, I can't remember that. Okay. No.
No.
Probably
wouldn't go for coffee.
No, that's not when I learned to drink coffee.
No. Later.
Other things, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember about the safety of the neighborhood? Was it a safe place?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You wouldn't even think about anything. I mean, it didn't matter where you went. I mean, everybody walked to school. And walk wherever you went. And I say, maybe it was because it cost 3 cents on the street. I don't know. But, you know, with young people, if everybody walks, you walk.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Everybody walked.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, walking to Commerce, it's long. It's a long walk. Because my sister started in Commerce. Yeah, I think we were still on Murray Street.
Yeah. So that's really a hike.
Who can remember?
That's a big hike if you were on Murray Street.
Yeah, because she used to pick up Ida Feinberg and walk to Commerce.
And
Ida Feinberg lived on McCall Street. So that's our memory.
Yeah. Did you? My mother used to talk about going to Sunnyside on the streetcar.
Oh yeah.
You used to do.
Oh
that?
Yeah. Go to Sunnyside. That was the place to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used to have dances there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had on the waterfront, but everybody went to Sunnyside. But I remember going to Sunnyside swimming, and they didn't let you in because you were Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did you get in?
Well, it became...
Oh, eventually.
Yeah. But I remember there were no Jews, like they had all over.
Right.
No Jews. Right. But I say Eaton's. Their factory was full of Jews.
Right, but you couldn't work there.
But nobody in the store.
No, you couldn't work there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that applied to everything, you know, golf courses, whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, you read about that, it's everywhere.
Well, I remember that in Montreal very
clearly. Yeah, too, for sure. Yeah. At that time, that's when the same thing with the Negroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of quotas for schools, for teachers.
But especially the Jews. They're after the Jews all the time. It doesn't matter.
Well, Eileen, I don't know if you have any more thoughts of what you're curious about. When you knew that I was coming to talk about the years that you lived in that neighborhood, did you have any thoughts about anything you might want to talk about, or any memories, any stories?
No. The neighborhood, I didn't spend that much time.
Sure, you were an adolescent and a young adult.
I was out.
I agree, I was
walking to the grocery store for my mother or to the butcher shop, whatever. Yeah. Because, you know, you were so used to doing that when you were kids that we used to do that for my mother, no matter how old we were. Because she used to go by herself, but the odd time. On Brunswick Avenue, I don't remember much about Brunswick.
But you do remember the horses delivering all these different, the horses delivering the ice and delivering the milk.
Yeah, and the coal.
And the coal. Yeah. And the groceries, maybe? Or maybe?
No. No. Yeah. Nothing like, a fruit store.
Fruit wagons.
Fruit.
Yeah.
They lived with fruit and vegetables. But that was by horses.
Yeah. Was there a library? Other than at the...
Oh, yeah, the library. You spent a lot of time in...
Where was the
St. George? Is it St. George?
The one at St. George and College?
Yeah. They had, the big library and the smaller one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you spent a lot of time there.
That's where I spent time at that library there.
Right.
And that's where you spent extra time.
Yeah.
You'd go sit around, get books or whatever.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't remember.
You have remembered a lot, and this will eventually be on our website. So when you want to listen to it, or anybody else wants to listen to it.
You mean everything I said is down there?
It's all.
It's a tape.
Oh, well.
It's a tape.
So I want to say thank you to you, Ray Gold, and to your daughter-in-law, Elaine Gold, for sharing all these wonderful stories with me. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Yeah.